Good morning, Oak River. Happy anniversary. Yes, can you believe it's been 16 years? That's why we have the balloons out there. And I think, Stephanie, we have an ice cream truck after church, right? Still? Yes? Pretty sure. Okay, we asked for one, so hopefully it's going to make it. During pre-service prayer this morning, Natalie reminded us of these cards. Do you remember this card? If you were here the first Sunday of 2019, you might remember this card. Do you remember what it is? This one's blank. Huh? Yes, the numbers of people that we hope to reach this year in 2019, and then on the back was the number that you hope Oak River will grow by the end of 2019. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but obviously some people forgot about that number, so I just wanted to remind you of it today, because we are 4 months in to 2019. Can you believe it? Oh, it's flying by. So take that number you wrote down. Hopefully you remember that number you wrote down. If not, I'll say it's 50. And just in your mind, say, okay, we're 4 months in, so I should be one-third of the way there. And if not, I need to put it in gear. Okay? Can you do that? Just remember this. I encourage you. Oh, I need to cough. Sorry. Thank God for the mute button, right? Oh, tickle in my throat. Pause. I just encourage you to write that number down somewhere, on a mirror, in your car, somewhere, and remind yourself. Say, God, what can I do to partner with you to reach this number? It's not all on you. Woo! Thank God, right? It's not all on you, but it is partly on you. You get to share with God in that. But I am so thankful to celebrate 16 years at Oak River. I just can't believe it. 16 years ago, we had our very first service in the cinema, in the Solon Cinema, served Krispy Kreme and popcorn. Kind of missed the Krispy Kremes, but missed the seats. The seats are awesome, right? But I am thankful for where we are today, and I'm thankful for all that God has done. And even more than that, I'm thankful for all that God is yet to do. Because we are building on a foundation here that is based on Jesus Christ and God's great love. And so that's a great foundation, you know. There's no way that growth can't come from that foundation. Grow, shine. There's no way. It's impossible. So I just celebrate that. Today we're wrapping up our theme, No More Barriers. No more barriers. Remember the first week of this month, Dave brought a message to us. The veil is torn. If you missed it, go online and listen at no charge. You can find it on our tab that says media. And it's a great message. I believe you'll be moved by it. Talked about how God himself tore from top to bottom the curtain that separated us from his holiness, from his presence. And it wasn't just a regular curtain. It was like 6 inches thick fabric. 6 inches thick, right? And I forget how tall he said it was. 30 feet? Is that right? Somewhere in, huh? Is that right? 30 feet? I'm terrible with numbers, but he tore it. God tore it in half from top to bottom, signifying that we are no longer separated from him. The following week, I did a message called No More Barriers Between Us and Us. And I talked about how we can come together as his disciples and what the word disciple means. And we can put aside differences and even celebrate differences in order to follow Jesus. And then last week we talked about no more barriers between us and God. Whoo! No more barriers. The barriers of sin, the barriers of fear of death, and the barriers of distance have been obliterated by what Jesus did on the cross. So we're wrapping it up today. No more barriers between us and them. I don't even like that, but it's real. So I want to talk about the barriers between us and them. Most of you probably understand intuitively when I'm talking about the barriers between believers and unbelievers. And God does not want there to be barriers between believers and unbelievers. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, go out and make disciples. He would have said, stay in your holy huddle and have a party. No, that's not what he said. He said, go and make disciples. So the first point for today's message is that we, is actually a point from 2 weeks ago. We need to stay, if we're going to really obliterate the barriers between us and them, we need to stay continually nourished by God's love. In John 15, 9 through 12, in the Passion Translation, Jesus is talking. We're still reading the red. We're still preaching the red. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Man, I love that so much. If I'm not overflowing with gladness, I need to get some more nourishment from his love. That's the answer. Not beating yourself up. I just need more nourishment from his love. So this is my command. Love each other deeply as much as I have loved you. Haven't seen a prop table in a while, have we, kids? It's a prop table day. Yes. Yes. So I have a prop that talks about how to stay continually nourished in his love. Ooh, I like the sound effects. Ooh, right? Thanks, Adamo. Was that Adamo or Miles? Okay, Miles. Thanks, Miles. Breaking out the vinyl gloves. Yep, because I really don't want blue or red on my hands. Although, it's just Gatorade. Don't drink it, kids. It's just Gatorade. But still, I don't know if it stains. It might, right? Do you know what this is? Sponge, right? What do sponges do? They wipe off. They clean stuff. They soak up. They wipe off tables. Yes, yes. They soak up and wipe off. If they're dry, they can't really wipe off a table, though. You need to put something on it, some kind of cleaner, so that it works, right? Yep, that's the plan. Miles is feeling brave today. I love it. I love it. So here's what we need to remember. Whatever we soak up is what we're going to leak. Whatever we soak up is what we're going to leak. Let me prove it to you. If you spend a whole lot of time soaking up stuff that makes you feel blue, now listen, I did this in high school. I don't know why. I went through a phase where I listened to a lot of music that wasn't worship music, and it made me want to cry all the time. All the time. My poor mom. Like, I just love listening to sad love stories on songs, and I would cry. How much? All the time. I would wake up crying and I would go to sleep crying. I wasn't sad. I was soaking up a whole lot of blue. That's what I was doing, right? And when you soak up blue, what are you going to leak? Blue. When pressure comes, blue comes out. When your life gets squeezed, blue comes out. Sometimes a little bit of it remains on the sponge unless you take it to Jesus and help have him help you get rid of all the blue, which I didn't put any bleach in here, so it's probably going to still be a little blue. Be patient, you know. When Jesus tells us to stay nourished by God's love, What he's saying is, soak up a whole lot of God's love. Now, I'm not talking about the old days from the 70s where the soaking, right? Where you just come into church and you soak in God's presence and you just soak and soak and soak and soak. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. But I think we limited it to a place, right? Because I can soak in my vehicle. I can soak in my shower. I can soak in my laundry area. I can soak in my bedroom. I can soak on my sofa. Because whatever you soak in is what leaks. Sometimes you don't even have to get squeezed. It just comes out wherever you go. And sometimes it gets messy. Because you're at the grocery store and you're leaking love all over people. And they feel it. I was in Dollar Tree yesterday and I was leaking love all over people. And they didn't know how to handle it. Like, I could tell. You know, do you ever get that look and they're like, is she for real? That I was soaking love on people. Even one lady who was really not in the mood to receive it. I still got her a little messy. You know? Because when you soak in God's love, that's what you leak. That's what you pour out. Now, what happens if you spend some time soaking in God's love, and then you spend some time soaking in some other stuff? What happens? Oh, it's kind of a mixture, isn't it? You see some red, but you also see some blue, and it kind of turns purple. Because some of us, we spend a whole lot of time soaking in God's love, and then we soak in some other stuff, and it gets all mixed up. And it's hard for people to see what's really coming out. They see a little bit of God's love, but then they see it mixed in with some other stuff. I guess Gatorade does stain. For those of you who are wondering... Yeah. Then it makes you wonder what it does to your insides, doesn't it? What are you soaking up? There is no way we can ever hope to get rid of the barrier between us and believers, unbelievers, until we learn how to get soaked with his love. Now I have a question for you. What do you like to do that feels like soaking in God's love? What do you like to do that feels like that you're soaking in God's love? What is it that helps you leak red? Raise your hand if you have an answer, okay?
Worship. Worship.
Worship, okay? Worship. Back here, Kai.
Drawing and reading and going to school.
Drawing and what?
Reading.
Reading and going to school. Good.
Praying.
Praying. Good. Anybody else? Okay, back here.
Listening to God's word with my morning cup of coffee.
Listening to God's word with coffee in the morning. We need something from this section. Oh, JT's on it. I knew he would be on it for me. Thank you, JT.
Worship music.
Worship music. Yeah, for sure. For sure, okay. Can you come to me?
Being with horses.
Being with horses. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anybody else?
Hiking in the woods and waves on the beach.
Yes. Waves on the beach. Yes. That's definitely one for me. Hiking in the woods, I like to. If it's a hike like this, not like this. You see, we need to figure out what it is. I'm going to get that away from the water. I'm not happy with that. We need to figure out what it is that helps us be nourished by God's love. And I got to tell you, there are times when I'm nourished by God's love with everything that was said. And there are times when it hits me out of nowhere. And I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like I get overwhelmed by God's love. And sometimes it feels like electricity inside, like I'm just bzzz, in a good way. Like it feels so like alive. It feels so alive inside that I can't even contain it, right? And then other times it's like taking a shower with warm water is the wrong word. Honey, like a liquid that's being poured over me or poured in me. Sometimes it's just this overwhelming sense of peace. Like no matter what happens or happened or will happen, I'm just flooded with peace. Figure out what helps you get nourished by God's love. If you want to leak, if you want to leak on people who don't believe, that's the way to do it. Get nourished by his love. But secondly, we need to, number two, we need to see people relationally instead of as the sum total of their behavior or issues. We need to see people relationally. Look, I'm a work in progress. Sometimes I do this well and sometimes I don't. When I'm driving down the highway and somebody cuts me off and is rude to me, I see the sum total of their behavior and I forget they're loved by Jesus. Just saying, like it's hard. But Jesus set an example for us that we are to see people relationally. And I found it so interesting because I felt like God gave me the point and then he gave me scriptures to show what he was trying to get to me. In Matthew 9:2, he says to a paraplegic, not, oh, my poor little paraplegic. No, he says, my son, be encouraged, for your sins have been forgiven. Look at the relational word there. My son, be encouraged. My son, I love that he said that. Not, oh, you've had it rough, haven't you? Had the guy had it rough? Absolutely. Jesus didn't see him based on his issues. He saw him relationally. Have you ever had a hot button? Like a sin that you think is like too big? Too big for God to deal with, you know? And when you meet someone who has that sin in their life, you have a hard time like seeing them relationally. But then a family member decides that they have that same sin and they make it known in one way or another. And suddenly you have to make a decision either to cut off that relationship, which is not from God, or to love them relationally and let the behavior be dealt with by God or whatever, by the Holy Spirit. You make a decision. That's not saying, okay, it's fine. That's fine for you to live any old way. That's not what it's saying. Jesus didn't say, continue in your sins. He said, your sins have been forgiven. In Matthew 9:9, a few verses later, to a hated tax collector, he said, follow me and be my disciple. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. What does it mean when he said, follow me and be my disciple? My disciple. You see the relational component there? It's huge. The relational component is huge. See people relationally. In Matthew 9:22, to a woman with an issue of blood. Oh, I love this. He says, my daughter. This woman who wasn't even allowed to touch him by legal standards. This woman who wasn't allowed to worship in the temple with people. This woman who if she sat on a chair, someone would not be able to sit there on that chair that she had sat in until they had been fully sanitized. Do you understand? This woman, he didn't say to her, you got issues. He said, my daughter. Oh, I can't tell you. A few months ago when I was reading the red, and I felt like those words, my daughter, just went at me. Like, he didn't call her by her disease. He didn't call her by her issue. He said, my daughter. Can you imagine how that felt like to her heart? What that felt like? The woman who had been at best shunned from social circles. She was a social pariah because of her disease. And he said, my daughter. My daughter, over Matthew 12:12, about a deformed man, he said, isn't a man much more valuable than a lamb? Oh, you see, lambs were very highly valued in Jewish culture because they were the perfect sacrifice, a lamb without spot or blemish. And Jesus said, listen, this deformed man who's not allowed in the temple or not allowed to serve as a priest because of his deformity, this man is more valuable than any lamb, perfect or not. You see, he attached relationship to everybody he met. Oh, I want to do that. I want to be that way. I fall short. I'm task-centered sometimes. It's not a lack of love. It's just I just get focused on tasks, you know? I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that. Jesus set such a beautiful example for us. In Mark 2, 15 through 17, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but the phrase that I want to focus on is in the middle. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Parentheses. I love this parentheses so much. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. I want to understand that. I want to be that. I want to be the kind of person that disreputable sinners feel comfortable following me. Then there's no more us and them. It's just all us. I love that so much. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. Not among Jesus' fans. Not among people who were just looking for the next meal because they heard he did a pretty good potluck. Not that. There were many disreputable sinners and tax collectors who regularly followed Jesus. You see, there's no way they would have followed him if he had pigeonholed them based on their issues, based on the sum total of their behaviors. There's no way. They wouldn't have hung around. But they did. So he found a way to relationally connect to people in spite of their behaviors. Wow. But when the teachers of religious law who were Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, do you see those words? Those are behavior words. They ask his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? Now they've moved from behavior to identity. Do you see that? God forgive us in the church. We've done the same thing. We've done it. I've done it. I need to go back to the Red Bull and soak up his love again and again and again and again and again. When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Here's the bottom line. I love that in the church we have been, one of the bottom lines, sorry. I have many bottom lines in my messages. I love in the church, and I do the same thing, where we've talked about identity a lot. I love that we have an understanding. I am a chosen daughter of God. I'm a royal priesthood. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I love, 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 love that. Here's the problem with it. Write this down. I will be what I see. I will be what I see. What do you mean by that, Sandy? If I see God as a harsh taskmaster, that is who I will become, a harsh taskmaster. If I see God as an unforgiving, cold, aloof God, I will be a cold, aloof person. Because as believers, we understand that we are made in His image. We accept that. So my question is, what is your image? What is your image? The way we see God is the way we're going to be to unbelievers. That's exactly, it's a tell. It's a tell. I've never played poker in my life other than with my sons, but I've never really played. But I hear that all players have a tell. Have you heard this? Where you can read their body language by whether they have a good hand or a bad hand because they have this giveaway. Their body language tells what they have. Not the good poker players, but the not good ones, right? We have a tell on how we see God. That's how we are. If you get easily frustrated with people and impatient, if you boil it down, it's because you need to soak a little bit more in God's love and understand God is not frustrated and impatient. Because you are made in His image, but I will be what I see. Point number three, trust the farmer. Now this parable kind of messes with me, if I'm being totally transparent with you, and I am. This parable messes with me a lot. But sometimes I think we shy away from parables that mess with us. And today I just want to jump in. Like, I really want to jump in. Matthew 13, 24 through 30 says this, "Then Jesus taught them another parable. Heaven's kingdom realm can be compared to a farmer who planted good seed in his field." What kind of seed? Good seed. "But at night, when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and planted poisonous weeds among the wheat and ran away. When the wheat sprouted and bore grain, the weeds also appeared. So the farmer's hired hands came to him and said, 'Sir, wasn't that good seed that you sowed in the field?'" You see their first response? Questioning his seed. Questioning the farmer. "Where did all these weeds come from?" He answered, "This has to be the work of the enemy." They replied, "Do you want us to go and gather up all the weeds?" How many of you see yourself in that role spiritually sometimes? It's my job to fix the world. It's my job to point out sin, to gather up all the weeds so the wheat is strong. Oh, see how it messes with me? He answered, "No. If you pull out the weeds, you might uproot the wheat at the same time. You must allow them both to grow together." What? "Until the time of harvest." Ha! "At that time, I'll tell my harvesters to make sure they gather the weeds first and tie them all in bundles to be burned. Then they will harvest the wheat and put it into my barn." Ha! Okay, I didn't hear much of this parable growing up. What I heard a whole lot of was, the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Did anybody else hear that verse a lot? Yeah, maybe it's a generational thing. Come out from among them, be separate. Yes, that is in the Bible. Yes, it is. It's written to a group of people who the city was known for rampant idol worship. I don't think it was saying don't hang out with those people. I think it was saying don't go into business partnership with people who worship idols because there's a problem. You have a core values that are different. Don't get married to someone who has different core values than you. That's what it was talking about. But somehow we've thought it meant There's us and them. And Jesus makes it very clear in this parable, us and them grow together. I just made an impromptu trip to South Carolina to see my mom. I just wanted to spend a few days with her this week. And I had planned, because my son works for an airline, so I have flight benefits, which is such a blessing. But the only bad part about the benefit is that I have to fly standby. So if the plane is full, I can't get on. Normally, that's not a problem. I can just get on the next plane. But last Sunday, after leaving Easter service, I was scheduled for a 3 o'clock fly out. And the plane was full. And so I ended up sitting in the airport, eating lunch, Easter lunch, and sitting in the airport for 3 hours. And then I could have waited for a later flight, but then that would have put me in. And my son was like, I don't really think you're going to get on the next one. I think you better wait till tomorrow morning. And in my mind, I'm like, I can be in South Carolina with my mom in 10 hours. Right? So what do you think I did? I drove. I drove. I'm like, ain't no thing. I can drive, right? It was kind of interesting, though, because when stuff like that happens, the way you see God comes out. Because a part of me was like, really? You couldn't have given me a heads up here? Like, I could have already been on the road 3 hours in to my 10-hour trip. But I'm walking down the aisle, that big wide aisle, right? And I'm on the phone with my sister, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to get on tonight. I think I'm just going to go home, get some good rest, and leave very early tomorrow morning and drive. And I'm just talking to my sister, and I'm like, and she goes, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, I'm kind of disappointed too. I said, but you know what? I trust God. And I'm walking and pushing my little luggage. I trust God. I know he orders every step. And this gentleman sitting in a little waiting area right there, he did this. He was reading and he went, when I said, I trust God. I wasn't saying it for him, but God wanted him to hear it. I know it in my heart. And it was like God said, was it worth sitting in an airport for 3 hours for that gentleman to hear someone say, I trust God? Yes, it was. But I'm driving down the road, highway. I leave at like 2:40 in the morning. It is insane. I'm crazy that way. When I decide to make a trip, I get up super early and I just go, right? And I speed. I do. Except not in Virginia. Because they will bust you there so fast. They are good at hiding. Don't speed in Virginia. It's a mistake. And so I'm driving down the road in West Virginia. And I come up on the orange barrels, right? We know what orange barrels are. They're like flowers in springtime in Ohio. And they were everywhere. But what I noticed was they would close an entire lane of traffic on 77 southbound for like 18 miles so they could work on 20 feet of road. Has anyone else noticed this? Oh. And when you got semis and all these cars, you know, you want to go. You don't want to be slowed down by a semi that's having a hard time getting up a hill in West Virginia. This is what we do in this church, in the church. We close off 18 miles of highway to work on 20 feet. That's what we do. Jesus, help us. We need to open the lanes. We need to keep the lanes open. And there are different on-ramps for different people. And we need to be okay with any on-ramp. We need to be okay with people not looking like us to be part of our family. Because my siblings and I, some of us look a little alike and some of us really don't. But we're still family. Well, you don't look like us. You need to hit the road. I think they picked you up off of a rock somewhere. You're adopted. I'm sure of it. With five kids in the family, like, you're going to hear that from somewhere at some point. Not with the Chang kids. Nope. No. Nope. There's no doubt. Here's the thing about the farmer. Point A, trust his seed. Stop trying to pull up weeds. You're hurting some wheat. Trust his seed. It's his, not mine. It's his, not yours. Point B, trust his timing. I'm preaching to myself. Trust, where's the mirror? Trust his timing. Because I always have a different timetable than him. Point C, trust his sorting. It is not my job to sort the world. We just need to say that together. It is not my job. It is not my job. Now say the whole thing. It is not my job to sort the world. What is my job? Love the world. For God so loved that he gave. My job, soak in some red so you can leak out some red. Soak in some red. Bill Johnson had a quote this week on Instagram, I think. Said this, the gospel gets perverted when people who are not in love interpret the scriptures. Wow. So every day when I'm reading my scripture in the morning, when I do my devotions, I'm like, Lord, I just want to be in love with you so I can understand this. And this morning I read something and I'm like, I don't understand this. The red. I was reading the red. And I'm like, I don't understand this. Put a big question mark by it. I wrote it down. I'm like, I don't understand it. I must need to soak a little bit more of God's love before I can get it. I'm not going to go interpreting it for you until I soak in his love. That's why I'm not telling you what it is. The gospel gets perverted when people who are not in love interpret the scriptures. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are always, ever showing us a new side of yourself. That there are so many dimensions to your character, we will be able to explore you forever. Literally, forever. And so, God, you see our hearts. There's no hiding from you. God, our desire is that we are nourished by your love so much that we leak out your love everywhere we go. So, God, show us how we best partner with you in that process. God, I want to see you as you are. I want to know you as you are so that I can be what you've created me to be, that person who's in your image. I don't want to create a God in my image. I want to know you, God. We, as a church family, long to know you. We don't have to have all the answers. We just want to know you. God, I ask for your forgiveness for the many times we've tried to sort and pull weeds when that was not our job. And God, forgive us for the wheat that was damaged in the process. But God, I know your arm is not short. You can heal broken wheat. You can restore. And we will love them. We choose to love, not sort. Thank you, God. for showing us who you really are, so we can be who we're meant to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We had a few ladies yesterday from here who went and went through some training on the Alpha program. And one of the quotes that they got when they were there is, you can choose to either win an argument or win the person. And some of us are really set on winning the argument, and God wants to shift us into winning the person instead of the argument. And so I just leave you with that and tell you that next week we start a new series called Grow, because our theme for 2019 is Grow, Shine. So we're going to take a whole month and talk about Grow. And Dave is going to kick it off next week with Grow in Time. Okay? You ready for that? Good. And are you ready for the ice cream truck? Woo! Yes! 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 Definitely! Okay, have a great week. Please don't knock anybody over trying to get to the ice cream truck. Okay, just be patient. Ooze God's love. Have a great week.